The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. But it's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, 12th day of November, 2012. More importantly, today is Veterans Day, the day we take some time to reflect on all those who, both men and women, who have selflessly given of their time and even their lives in defense of this country and to ensure the liberties of people around the globe. Chances are, if you yourself were not a veteran, then someone in your immediate family or someone close to you, a friend, a coworker, was a veteran. And they know what it is to be in a bunker and have rockets screaming overhead. I was in the military. The closest I came to combat was a bar fight in Longapo. I was blessed to be in the military when there was no war or major conflict going on. But I have a niece right now who is proudly serving in Afghanistan. I saw her this weekend. She flew back to the U.S. on leave from Afghanistan, was able to come, sit at the table, break bread with us, just like a normal person. She's only 21, 20, maybe 22. But in a couple days, she'll suit up, she'll fly back, and she is a prisoner escort driver. That's her job. And does she ever get shot at? Well, there's shots fired in her direction. It's a good thing those guys aren't more accurate than they are. Our casualties would be far worse. But she went from the battlefield to the Thanksgiving family reunion table, and now back to the battlefield without any look of fear in her eyes and looking quite sporty the whole time, looking very good. Most girls her age have other things on their mind, not fighting and defending our country. And I know not that in a peacetime war, no one should feel shame because they don't volunteer. That's a matter of choice, but it's something that she chose to do. She willingly went, and I'm so very proud of her. Perhaps you can hear it in my voice. You can probably hear a few other things in my voice, too. It's called going from the desert where it's 90 degrees and change on Thursday afternoon to arriving in Williams, Arizona via Route 66 Thursday night where it's about 25 degrees, hail, rain, sleet, snow, and home of the Route 66 Cafe, which is home to the $16 cheeseburger. That's right. The next time you're in Williams, Arizona, do not stop at the Route 66 Cafe.
Oh!
We opted for the bowl of chili. That was only $8. I'm not cheap. I'm not a tightwad. I don't mind going out and paying for a nice dinner. This wasn't a nice dinner environment. This was kish. Kish? Yeah. Kish is something you eat, and kish is something that you make fun of. Anyway, I don't want to make fun of anything, and I'm not hungry because I think I have a cold. My little girl's sick. My son seems to have come through it okay. My wife, she's not feeling up to snuff. But again, we go from the dramatic temperatures of the desert, 90 plus, to that. And then you're in and out of it, in and out of it, in and out of it the whole time you're there. It was so cold Saturday morning. We were heading to the Grand Canyon. We were going to go Friday. We didn't make it Friday. We got out to go on Saturday, and the rental car that I have, while my car is in the shop, has the electric sliding doors on the side. It's the daddy van. And it had gotten so cold, the doors froze shut. Now, those of you that live back east, that's probably nothing new, no big deal. You're used to it. You wake up in the morning and put water on to boil so you can go out and throw it at your car so you can get in it and go to work. We're not accustomed to that here. So we had to just wait it out for the sun to come along and melt the ice, and then we could get in. But we did take the drive to the Grand Canyon on Saturday, and it's been about, I've only been once in my life, 25 years ago. It was every bit as spectacular this time as it was 25 years ago. Well, maybe a little more spectacular this time because I had my kids with me. And they had a great time. And I took some great pictures. And if you follow us on Twitter, that's at CFRN, you can see all the pictures from the vacation. I tried to keep the ones I uploaded to Twitter at a minimal. I just hit the highlights. Appetizer night, Grand Canyon, let's see what else. The drive home, of course. The family reunion. The party, the decorations, the elves. It was a magical winter wonderland, and I'm so glad I was able to go and partake in all of that. Okay, it looks like I have my good friend Burton Schlichter right here in this live trading room with me, so I'm going to chat with him for a minute, let him bring me up to speed on all the news and what's going on, and you as well. I'll tell you this much, at the last time I glanced, the Dow was down 19 points, the S&P was down 1.5 points. Comp was down 6, gold was down 40 cents, crude was down 40 cents, and I think somewhere in my headlines, I think the Greek market, let's see, where did that go? Kind of old news that Greek stocks are getting massacred, but they are, again. The Athens market is off over 4%, bank stocks are down over 10% after a new bank recapitalization plan. So we'll go over, there's some interesting headlines out there today, and we'll go over them in a bit, but let's say good morning to Bert. Good morning, Bert.
Hey, Dwayne, what's going on?
How are you, man?
Good. Not used to this role. Just kind of in the background most of the time.
Yeah, you just hang out. We're going to drag out front today.
Now, oh, great. No, just kidding.
Because Michael, this morning I sent Michael a text. I did get home last night, and I sent him he had sent me a text and said, "Man, it's going to be slow tomorrow. You know, I can take care of it." But I thought, you know, I'm home. Let me just go ahead and I'll do the deal. But then I woke up this morning and I felt this cold on my back and in my head. And I texted him. I go, "Is there any action?" He texted me back, "No." He goes, "Just take the day off if you want." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do the radio show if you'll hang out in the live trading room." And he said, "All right, deal." And so that brings me to here. So I haven't been watching the news, or did anything major happen? Do we have any big economic reports this morning?
Nothing economically. You highlighted one thing about Greece. That weighed on some of the European markets, but as a whole, you look at the FTSE, the DAC, and the CAC 40. It's not like it's over. Let's just say they're slightly lower, so there's not a big impact. The news is more, you know, the Greek news is a little bit maybe blowing up a little bit more than what the market is, you know, concerned about.
Right.
So we're a shade lower across the board. Asia, depending on, you know, where you were looking there, was mixed to slightly lower. So it really was, you know, like Mike said, it was uneventful last night. The trading this morning from the cash market opening has been light. I think, you know, we've been grinding lower because maybe just kind of the, you know, Friday wasn't a very stellar close for the S&P. We closed just
right
under
there.
200-day moving average. So I'm sure that forced some of the technical traders to bail out of any long position, which is kind of a residual of what we're seeing this morning. But not a lot of energy in the market. So,
and I think we can contribute that primarily to the fact that it's a federal holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no mail, no banks, no school. It's actually surprising that the markets are even open.
I know.
But has it always been this way on Veterans Day?
I think, you know, I look back, I think it's been pretty light. You know, I could always measure, what I take the train in every morning, so where I live, there's a lot of people that are in the financial district in the markets, and the train was probably, there was about half the people there. So that gives me a good sense of what the volume might be for the day.
So that's your gauge on market activity, how many people
yeah,
are on the train?
It starts with the train ride in. So,
well,
and it, like I said, it was pretty, there was enough seats to go around. So
when I owned a call center on quasi-holidays like this, when I drove into the office, if I saw that the streets were empty, you know, not much morning commute traffic,
there you go.
I knew the reverse, that this was going to be a great day because everybody's at home. And so the people working in our call center would have a very high contact rate contacting people.
True.
So the reverse of that. Now, the low last week was right down here. I haven't changed these zones, guys. This is from last week. The low of the week last Friday was 63.50 was the low. And as you can see on my screen, this was our lowest weekly trading zone for the week, 64.65. We hit that, bounced right up off of it. Because I was officially taking a day off, and I don't know how many times as I had my head bent over my phone texting or my iPad, I would hear somewhere behind me, "I thought you were taking the day off. I thought you were taking the day off." Well, anyway, so I don't know what news happened that drove the market higher Friday morning. Did we have some employment numbers or anything?
Someone's going to have to remind me. I forget. I think there was...
Do you remember this candlestick pattern right here, Bert?
Let's see here. Let me go to your chart. No. Is that tweezer bottom?
No, this one right here.
Where are you?
See, I'm stalling to see if you can remember it while I attempt to remember it.
Oh. No, to be honest with you, I don't. Someone in the audience, please. Steve Bigelow, if you're there.
Does anybody remember? Otherwise, I'll tell you what it means. It means pregnant lady. Because nobody typed it in.
Oh, that's right. You're right. What
is that? Come on. That's one I actually have memorized the name. See, that's the thing, guys. Once you learn, Bullish Harami. There you go. It's a
perfect.
Okay. Couple people. Lynn got it. JM got it. It's a Harami. And now they say that the higher she carries the baby, okay? Now, guys, you got to use your imagination a little bit with the candlesticks. But this is the lady. And this is the papoose, the baby. And you've probably heard, you know, when you were younger, I don't hear that so much anymore, but when we grew up in the country, people would say stuff like, ooh, she's carrying low, which meant the baby was kind of hanging low, or, oh, she's carrying high. In other words, the baby was kind of way up here, and this one she's carrying kind of low, but she's carrying nonetheless, and that's a signal for higher prices, and look what we got. We got the higher prices right up to the weekly trading zone at 1386/87. And then we sold off from that point pretty strongly in that hour. We had a strong reaction downwards from that price. And then we ended up closing out the day right here. I guess it's 1375.50. Last night on Globex, it was very quiet. I did put out a tweet to consider being short below 71, take your profits at 66. That is yet to be triggered, but I'm thinking that it's still good, it's still valid. And so if the opportunity presents itself, it's there. As always, use a hard stop, exercise caution, etc., etc.
Where would you consider putting your stop, Dwayne? Over that top right there? Let's see if it qualifies this afternoon.
If it qualifies this afternoon, if it takes out 71, I mean, if it gets below 71, well, here's the thing. If from 71 to 66, that's only a four-point move. Mm-hmm. And so 71 going the other way would be 75. You know, technically, you would want to put that stop maybe up above this swing high. But for me, now this MA1 is going to start to drop and follow it.
Right.
And once we get a close back above the CFMA1, that's going to be a call for higher prices. So at that point, for me, it's game over. The trade is not doing what I expected it to do. If you look over here, let's just go back. We can go back to here. See, we got this close below. Even though the CFMA1 was blue, we got a close just below, then another candle closed just below. That's a clear call for lower prices. We got lower prices down to the zone. Then we got a close above, and that's a call for lower prices with the understanding that the next zone overhead may be potential resistance. And so we got that. You'll notice from here, if you bought the open of this, at 78, let's see, this candle opened at 78.75 and it went to 86. So that was a good, I don't know, 6-7 point trade up to the zone. The drawdown on it, the low was 76.50, so there was a 1.25 point drawdown, no, 2.25 point drawdown on this trade if you bought the open. So back to this one, okay, if it takes out 71, we don't know what it's going to do between now and taking out 71. It might come up and put in some kind of a little higher high here. And what I would do, guys, is I would not, because you're only shooting for a four-point target. Now, I haven't put the new zones up on the chart yet, but I will. I sent them out to everybody. I'll go over here and look and see what's below us. I'll just tell you that the zone below us is 62, 63. Is that right? And where are we at? We're at 75. Yeah, the zone below us is 62, 63. So, realistically, that target instead of 66 could be 64. But I still wouldn't risk So if you're going to go from 71 to 64, 71, that's a 7-point trade. I don't know. I don't think you need to risk 7 points. It's. I would watch this MA1 as it follows it down. And if you get any close above, now this requires actually watching the chart. Now you should have a disaster stop in place. You should have a hard stop that in case the market just turns and goes, you don't get, you know, taken out on a stretcher. So you got a hard disaster stop in. But I would watch this and let it walk it down. And if you got any closes back north of it, I would just say, you know, it's not going the way we anticipated. Let's go ahead and get out. Right now, we have a double bottom right across here. In fact, if you notice, you got a low here, here, and here. Now, with this little thing that happened on Friday, with the exception of that, there's a triple bottom across there. So this could be a very good support area, and it may be that the market moves higher and we don't trigger 71. The other thing you can do, of course, is go down to your smaller time frame and when this thing gets below 71, see, like this morning coming down, there's a bearish cross and a pullback here. And then another pullback here that traveled a little ways. We just ran up against it, and it looks like it's going to fall again. So what you could do is you could go to the smaller time frame, this 10,000 contract. You could wait for price to come down and break 71. And then you could put an entry back up at the BBC and look to get in on a pullback. So there's two ways to enter this, on a limit or on a stop. If you enter it on a limit, you'll be able to fine-tune a little better where you want to put your stop. Even if you enter the trade on a stop, going back and looking at the dynamics of this, see, like right here, if I wanted to put a stop, if I wanted to take this short trade here, for instance, because of the dynamic of the 10,000 contract chart, I could go all the way back up here and put a stop right above the most recent swing high, or I could go back and put it just above what you would call a minor swing high right here, if that's how you wanted to trade it. Although this chart is designed so that you never have to risk more than 2 points. Although when you're shooting bigger game on an hourly chart and going for a 7-point move, sometimes that does warrant a little bit more of a stop. The thing is you have to make that decision before you pull the trigger, before you get into the trade. Don't get into the trade with a 2-point stop and go, oh, you know, man, I really feel the need to win. So I'm going to increase my stop to 5 points or whatever it might be. Because now you're using emotions to make your decisions. Whereas before you get into the trade, you have a tendency to think a little clearer. And you go, you know, it would be in my best interest to not risk more than X if I'm ultimately going for a 7-point target. Now, is it acceptable to go 1-to-1, 7-for-7? You know, we go 2-for-2 in the live trading room all day, every day. It's just that when you get into those bigger numbers where you're risking 7 to pick up 7, now if you take a hit, it takes a little longer to overcome that, to right the ship, because 7 points is 7 points. Bert Lynn asked if we could explain the difference between a limit and a stop. Would you want to handle that?
Sure. But let's decide on what part of the market. So let's talk about buy limits and buy stops. And I guess simply put is that a limit order, if you were buying the market, a limit order is an order that's placed underneath the current market price. So an example right now would be buy buy the S&P at 1371 on a limit because you're buying it below the current market price. If you, what a stop is a buy that's above the current market price. So for example, under the, you know, where we're at now, you want to buy December S&P at 1380 on a stop. The way I learned it back in the day is if you take a piece of paper and fold it so you have four quadrants, that horizontal line you mark as a current market price. And on the left-hand side, put buy, right-hand side, sell. And then in the lower left-hand box, put buy limit. In the upper top left box, put buy stop. Then in the sell category, which is on the right-hand side of the piece of paper, put in sell limit in the upper right-hand corner and put sell stop in the bottom right-hand corner. And remembering that that horizontal line, just write down current market price, and that should help you out.
All right.
That's old school.
Let me. Oh, I'm already got that. Let's see.
That makes sense, Lynn.
Yeah, well, I'm going to... Lynn, let's say that on this order, on this little tweet that's out there now, to consider being short below 1371.
Okay.
All right. You see this right here, Lynn? Okay, 1371 is way down here. The market's way up here at 75.75. So to enter this trade on a stop... Right here, your DOM, as you hover over the right-hand side, if you have your tooltips turned on, as you hover over 71, it will say right-click to put in a stop, right-click. And see what it did was it put in a stop. In other words, what's going to happen now as price comes down, as price travels through 71 on the way down, it's going to trigger me into an order. Now, because I have... my chart or this platform or this DOM set up with a 2-point bracket, once it places this order at 71, it's going to automatically place my stop and my target. It's going to give me a 2-point target and a 2-point stop. Michael was in here a minute ago trying to get my attention to let him in, and now he's gone, so I'm sending him a text message. Anyway, so that's how you get in on a stop, Lynn. The market is trading above where you want to get in. You know, if it goes below 71, I want to be short. So you go to 71. Let me cancel all, and I'll walk through this one more time. 13.
What that also means, Lynn, is it's not going to trigger until it drops at or below 71.
Exactly.
So if the market advances from this point on, you're not in the trade. So... it's not going to trigger your entry until it actually breaks that level. So you're, for the most part, you're selling it on momentum or perceived momentum.
Right. Now, here's the thing. It could go, if you set that trade and you get up and you go on about your business, it could come down and hit 71 and turn right around at 71 and move higher. Well, if it does, you have a hard stop in place if you're using a bracket order the way we teach you to do. That's why on those types of trades, you certainly can set them and forget them. I prefer to be around to watch them. That's a decision that you have to make. I'm going to hit cancel all. Now let's do the reverse. Let's buy... That was selling on a stop. Now let's show buying on a stop. In order to buy on a stop, we got to get above the current market price, which is right here at 1376. Now let's say we think the market's going higher. Let's see, this swing high right here was 81.50. So let's say if it gets to 83, man, we want to be long this market. So we just, now here's current price. We come over here and find 1383. We right-click it. Now it is placed in order to buy on a stop. As price rallies up through 83, it's going to trigger me in to a long position at 83. It's going to put an order in for my target to be at 85 and for my stop loss to be at 81. That's all going to happen just automatically. All that needs to happen in order for that order to trigger for me to be long the market at 83 is for price. If I leave this on as it is right now, all price has to do is come up here and trade through 83 and I'm in. Okay. Or correct me if I'm wrong, Bert, all it has to do is touch 83.
Yeah, all it has to do is touch it, and then it becomes a market order.
Yeah, once it touches, it becomes a market order with the target at 85 and the low, or the target at 85 and the stop at 81. So now I'm going to hit cancel all, because otherwise those would be live orders in the market. So we're going to cancel those. Now, I see another question that says, where can I go to learn the basics of using DT Pro? Okay, in the control panel of DT Pro, there is a help button. And if you go there and click the help button, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 choices down is called User's Guide. This is a very extensive PDF. I think it's well over 100 pages. It might be 200. And it walks you through every aspect from setting up your charts to applying indicators to setting the time. It tells you how to use the DOM. And also on the Daniels Trading website, there are some very helpful videos. Correct, Bert?
Right. I was going to say, Dan, I'll send you an email with the cliff notes to the platform. It's a lot easier than the user guide. And if you have more complex questions, then you can ask Leslie or myself, or we'll ask support. So look for your email. Look for an email from me in the next few minutes.
Now, just you have a question. Looks like the Harami at 11:30 on Thursday did not work. Let's see. 11:30. You're referring to this one? Yeah, prices only went slightly higher. You had the red MA1 coming down overhead. So prices dropped lower. And then we had another Harami right here, okay, which in fact did work. The candlestick signals, guys, it's no holy grail. Let me get your attention. There is no holy grail, okay? There is nothing that quote-unquote works, and that term makes me cringe. There's nothing that works all the time. There is a million things that work some of the time. What you got to figure is what can give you a definable, measurable edge over a large sample size. And candlesticks have stood the test of time for 400 years. Will every doji result in a reversal? Nope. Will every bullish harami guarantee the market is going higher? Nope. Will every bearish engulfing pattern guarantee the market's going lower? No. But over the long haul, over the majority, you know, the larger percentage of time, do they become great trading tools? They do. Now, one of the things that Steve teaches, and he talked about this in the webinar, is that he waits for, like after this bullish Harami here, he would wait for some confirmation. Now, these are hourly candles. He typically is trading equities on a daily chart, okay? But as he said in the webinar, everything is applicable all the way down to a one-minute time frame. And it's the same on pork bellies as it is on S&P 500, E-minis, equities, doesn't matter, or rice, a grain, where it all started. So how he would look at this is he would go, okay, here's the Harami, but I don't have any confirmation on this candle because this candle closed lower than it opened. Over here, you have the bullish Harami. You have a huge confirmation candle here. And this is a place where a lot of people would go, hey, it's already moved too far. I missed it. I can't get into that. Now, Steve talked about this in the webinar, and he said, you know, though when I get that strong confirmation after the signal, he goes, that's when I'm most eager to get in. Because for us, as CFRN partners with the CFRN trading tools, we know that this close back above the CFMA1 is also a call for higher prices. So here we have the Harami, look for higher prices. We have the confirming candle after the pattern, look for higher prices. We also had a close back above the CFMA1, which is a look for higher prices. So that's one, two, three things that are saying look for higher prices. And did we get higher prices? We did. The market moved an additional 7 points to the upside after the confirming candle. Over here, we did not get a confirming candle. Here, we actually did get a confirming candle. Okay, this Harami was followed by a bullish. Now, but if you said, yeah, I still want to see it get on the other side. Okay, so this candle closed at 78. This candle opened at 78. And then the high up here was 81.25. So this little move here was good for 3.25 points. Okay, this was, as you can see, late at night. The bodies of the candle are very small. As we're coming out of Asia and rolling into the European Open. Okay, let's see if we got any other questions in here. And today's a great day for questions. You got Bert here. He knows all of this stuff inside and out, backwards and forwards. And sometimes a person can explain something to you over and over and you don't quite get it. And then another person can explain the exact same thing to you, the same concept, the same idea. And it's crystal clear. And so it's, and you look at the other guy and go, what did you say that I didn't say? And you go, I don't know. But now he gets it. So sometimes you just need to hear it, you know, worded slightly differently or with different emotions or whatever from another individual. So if there's anything that you've heard me and Michael talk about that you still have questions on, take advantage of the fact that we have Bert here, and he'll be happy to answer the question.
You want to switch markets?
I'd be happy to.
Let's go to corn.
You know, I still got that chart. Are we still December corn?
There you go.
Boom. Now, in all fairness, go ahead, yeah. I'm sorry.
I was going to say exactly what you were going to say, but go ahead.
In all fairness, last week, we did say that we were going to officially call this trade off because we had the big crop report coming out on Friday. And just as this was very kind to us in the direction that we had originally placed, you know, placed this tweet out there, it could have also gone the other way. But we put in this 731. This idea came to us. Well, how long has it been, Bert? 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think so.
You know?
Well, I had to be with that right shoulder, right? Because we had the...
Oh, right.
Left, head, right. And then we were thinking, all right, a break of 31 would kill the deal.
Okay, so we were probably... We're probably on this candle, this daily candle, or this daily candle.
Yeah, we were getting real close.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 trading days. That's how, okay, so 2 weeks, 10 trading days. And then we got the report on Friday. And the low so far is 712. So from 731 to 712. Now this pays $50 per penny, just as the S&P 500 pays $50 per point.
Now, let's, because I know this question is going to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not short, can we get short and where? Right?
Right.
All right, so you want to break this down? Because I think we still have more room to the downside on
let's
this one.
Let's do this. Let's measure.
So?
Let's measure from the head.
Mm-hmm. Head, shoulder, knees, and toes.
Yeah, look. Yeah,
I got four kids. Can you tell?
That's funny. Okay, guys, this won't be exact, but it's close enough to give you an idea. Okay, so from the top of the head to the neckline is this long. And so, if you come over here to the neckline and add that length, that's what's called a measured move. And so the place that we would look for... Oh, I guess I'd already done that over here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'd already done that.
But that's good, because people got an idea again.
Yes, how you calculate so that's how we calculated it before, and that's how I just calculated it again. And so we've got a low here, so far, of 712.50. And, well, the bottom is like 687. That's where we would expect it to go to as a measured move, 687. And I had put this a little high up on it just, you know, to give it some cushion in case it doesn't make it all the way to the target. Because you always really, you know, it's aggravating when you come back and look and see how it got within just, you know, a penny or a point or whatever from your target and reversed and ran the other way. So.
Well, also, there's a gap down there on July 3rd. 676, 685 and a half. So that, yeah, see that air pocket?
July 3rd. Right there.
There you go.
Very good. I would have never spotted that.
So.
Right there, guys.
That is
what he's talking
potentially
about.
Your target. So, but so the question would be is, if we're not in, can we get in? And where? You want to
well,
break it down?
What are your thoughts, Bert? Let me go ahead, because I know you've already given this thing some thoughts. So rather than me stumble through it, what are your thoughts?
You want to break it down on an hourly and start cutting it up?
Mm-hmm.
See what...
sure enough. Let me go over here and go... I'll make this an hourly.
I think you're on a cocoa chart there.
Yeah, I'll change this to 1 hour, and then I'll go to corn.
Oh, I see what you're going to do.
Get rid of all my little drawings. Okay,
ZC.
ZC, there we go.
Zulu,
ZC,
Charlie.
ZC2. Okay.
Oops, busy.
All right, here's an hourly. You want me to overlay some tools? You want BBC, MA1, anything?
Yeah, you
want
to put your stuff on there and see if... Can we really trade other markets using the CFRN indicator set?
Okay, right here on an hourly chart, guys, we would be looking for a pullback all the way up to 734. I mean, we had a bearish cross over here, and you can see what happened. Candles, now this is hourly, very small bodies, light activity in the market. This is overnight. And then we rallied a little bit into, it looks like the open today. We reversed, but we never got a bullish cross.
Soup? Oh, okay.
Now, is she carrying high over here? I believe she is. And here's your confirming candle right here. This goes back to November 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what you're looking at, Bert, as a pullback? Now, guys, as price can roll sideways,
that's
are going to drop. These are going to come down. And so that's going to lower your – if this just goes sideways for a while, your point of entry, which is the BBC, the green line – if you're selling on a limit, is you'll be looking for price to pull back to, right now it would be 734. But the market's pretty quiet.
Okay. Break it down on a 5-minute chart now,
okay.
And then I'll tell you what my thought is.
All right.
See if we get the, I got some different moving averages up. So 731 is a possibility, guys. So,
718 is a possibility right here.
Yeah. What I'm looking at is I have a level at 7, I think I was telling Jerry this earlier, 722 as I telling Jerry. So probably 722 to 724 is what I would be looking for. has a potential kickback level to get short this market. Okay? So I would write that down. Let's go 724, because that's what it reads right now. As time and price goes on, it might come down a little bit. And this has nothing to do with the indicator set that Dwayne has up. It's just the moving averages that I'm working with. So I would eye that level as the first potential short on a kickback. And then what could happen is we could consolidate here and start flagging upward. And if that's the case, that's good, because then I'm sure what Dwayne will do is put out a tweet to sell it under a certain price if it breaks down again, like right. We do with the soybean trader.
Exactly. In fact, get rid of the drawings, go back to an hourly for a minute.
Right, because we can flag here, and I know exactly what you'll end up doing.
734. Okay. Now, what was the price that we just were talking about, 724?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Price that Birch's had was talking was 724. As the market gets quiet and rolls sideways, These are going to drop. And so, with time decay is not really the proper term to use here. That's an options term, but amounts to the same thing. As time passes, these are going to drop. Now, if this started to rally, just shot out of the hole, then your entry would be up here at 734. But with each passing hour, these are going to drop, and it could very well be that we end up meeting up here in the 724 area. But again, right here, if you just use the CFMA1, guys, right here, this close said look for lower prices. So this candle opened at 741.75 and the low was 735. So 741.57. That's about a 6 cent move right there. And then once you closed back above it, you closed above it right there, just barely. Then you had a red candle, then you had a doji, you finally get a bullish body right there. So if you bought the open of this, that 737.75, it went up to 743.50. So was that open? Let's call it 740. It went up to that was more than that. It was 770. About 5-6 point move. 5-6 cent move. Then you close back below the MA1 right here. And so this one opened at 736 and we've gone all the way down to 712. Now I know that's sort of a prehistoric way of trading, guys, but the ability for that simple thing to put you on the right side of the trade, it's indisputable. All you have to do is go look at a chart. If you have the indicators, just put it on any chart, literally any time frame, and just go look at it. You don't have to believe me. Just go look and see what it does. I mean, now right here, did it close above and run out of steam? Yeah. What did it run right into? That's why it ran out of steam right there.
Actually, look at the setup right now, Dwayne.
Oh, yeah, we're getting a bullish setup right now. Okay. We went from talking about a potential break of 71 to the market's completely turned around on us. Let's look at that from a hourly. Okay. Look, we're coming right back up here. Now, this is a great opportunity for you to watch this in action. We've got another 30 minutes left in the candles because my candles start anew on the half hour. And we talked about that a lot last week, so I think most of you probably understand that. This candle here, if it fails to close above, then we will continue to look for lower prices until it does. See, right here, this close below said look for lower prices, and it closed at 77.25, and it went down to 73. So that was 4.25 points right there. In this 1 hourly candle, just buying the open, there's a potential for 4.25 points. Now, if you stayed in the trade, you've given all that back. Okay. All this says is look for lower prices. You got lower prices, 4 points worth. Now it's pulling back up to test this thing. It might bump into it. It might spike above it. The question is, will it close above it? See here, it closed above, led to higher prices. Closed below, led to lower prices. So now you know that from the hourly perspective, you've got this thing overhead that you need to close above for a continued upward move. But if you go back to the 10,000 contract, you also see there's still 36 minutes left in this half hour. So that's plenty of time for this thing to come down and bounce. Let me open this up a little bit. There we go. Right now, the entry would be 75.75, and the high, the swing high, is 78. So from here, back up to test this high, that could easily be a two-point move, which it then ultimately fails and closes back below this. And so the larger picture is still to look for lower prices. But yet on this little pullback or kickback, as Bert would call it, you have a chance to take 2 points on the long side. Now, Frank, I know, is out there scratching his head going, well, why can't I just fade this back down to the BBC? Right, Frank? Well, you can. Oh, and by the way, Frank, thank you very much for that piece you wrote for the opinion page on veterans and why we celebrate it, and I meant to get it posted last night. I did not, but as soon as I finish the show today, I will post that, guys. Go, in an hour after we end the show, go to the opinion page and check out Frank's latest blog post. There's a question from Michael. With an MIT, does a trade have to take place at that price or merely the bid-ask being the best inside quote? Bert, I'll defer to you on that.
MIT, it's market if touch. That means right. all that has to happen is the market has to touch your price, becomes a market order, and you're not guaranteed that price, but you're guaranteed a fill. Yeah, what one should expect is about a quarter tick of slippage each time.
Well, I had that right up to the comma. It's the second part. Does trade have to take place at that price, or merely the bid ask being the best inside quote?
It's got to be a trade there.
The trade's going to go off at that price. Like if I, just to show you here, like if I say I want to, well, let's say I want to sell 1380, left click market if touched. Okay. Now, what's going to happen is if price comes up here and touches 1380, that's going to trigger my order. As Bert just said, whenever you use a market if touched, the price you pay for that is typically one tick of slip. Now, in a different market where there's a wider spread, you could pay more than one tick of slip. But in the S&P, because it's so liquid and the bid-ask is so tight, the most, unless the market gets really volatile, usually the most you would ever give up would be one tick. So if I'm trying to sell 1380, I'm probably going to end up getting filled at 79.75.
So the next question is, why does one do that, Dwayne? Why would someone use an MIT versus a limit order?
Well, that's a very good question. The reason being is, okay, right now, this pullback to get long would be 1375. It's at 82, so you got to round it up to 76. So here's 76. So I could just come right over here and just say, buy me one on a limit, market if touched, at 76. If price comes down and touches 76 and then heads north, if I just have a limit order, I may or may not get filled. because picture, think of it this way. At 1376, there's a long line of people stand, there's a there's people standing in line waiting to get soup. But the soup guy only has so much soup. And so Price comes down and sits here at 76. It might even sit there for 2 or 3 minutes. And your order hasn't got filled. It hasn't got filled because you're at the back of the line. There's people been camping out overnight to get this soup. So after 2 or 3 minutes of sitting here at 76, you never get your soup, and all of a sudden Price goes 76 and a quarter, 76 and a half, 76, 70. And you're going like, hey, wait a minute, that's wrong. I was willing to pay 76. That's right, and so were all those other people in line. The only ones who were guaranteed soup were the ones that were willing to pay 76 and a quarter. And in effect, that's what a market order, market if touched order does. It says, I really want to pay 76, but I'm willing to go 76 and a quarter if that means I might not get any soup.
Let me put it to you. Let me put it to you in maybe a different way.
I used a food analogy. Let's see. Are you going to use sports or car talk?
How you gonna... No, you know, I was going to use, you ever put an order in to take profit at a certain level and it keeps tapping your price? And you're like, come on, get me out, get me out. It's traded there 100 times. Why am I out yet? Well, that's because it has to trade actually through your price in order to get it filled. So the best way to combat that, if you're not really particular about getting that price, is if you have a target price and you're getting out, just put an MIT in there. That way you know you're out. You're not sweating every, you know, every trade that goes by at that price. And you're, and you move on to the next one. That's usually when you want the MIT. When you're taps your price, you're looking to get out or looking to get in, and it keeps tapping you, and you're looking at your dome and like, why aren't I filled? Why aren't I filled? Eliminate that guesswork, eliminate that pressure. Just put the MIT in, and if when it touches it, you'll be guaranteed a price. You'll be guaranteed a fill. You just don't know what price. Okay.
Angelo, I see that you had a question there as well. Could you touch upon market and sell, buy market and sell market? Basically, what that means is you're willing to pay wherever the market is at right now. And that is an order that I would rarely ever use that to get into a trade. Because if I'm using that to get into a trade, it kind of means I'm afraid I'm going to miss something, and that's not a good place to come from when entering a trade if you're afraid you're going to miss something, because there will always be another trade. Sometimes I might use it to get out of a trade. If I just want to scratch out and be done with it, I don't want to. I can see that things have turned around. There's no sense in letting my hard stop get hit, so I just want to scratch out. But instead of even using a market there, you can usually take your stop and just drag it up the ladder or down the ladder. Let's say I want to buy. Let's see, what's this price here? 76. You got to round it up to the next tick. So 1376 and a quarter. 1376 and a quarter. Now, if I said just buy the market right here, it's going to put me in way up here at 78. But let's say we get into the trade and we get triggered in, and then it starts stalling out at 77.50. I could exit at the market. Since I'm long, I could sell the market, which is usually going to give me an unfavorable slip of one tick, or I can grab my target and I can just drag it down a rung on the ladder, or two rungs. I can drag it down to meet price. And that way I get filled at that price and I don't get slipped the tick. What's your take, Bert, on buying and selling at market?
Honestly, my opinion is I always use limit orders. When I get out of trades, if I get to a particular level, I just hit the sell button. Or I'm probably using a limit order, and if it hasn't filled right away, I'll just cancel market all and just hit it at the market.
If you just took, you know, 5-6 points out of a trade or whatever that might be, And if just hitting exit at the market, if you know the worst that's going to happen in a market like the S&P is just going to cost you a tick, then that can be the easiest way to just go ahead and exit out of the order to make sure that it doesn't reverse on you and end up, you know, costing you way more. Again, in more thinly traded markets, hitting buy market or sell market can be more expensive than just one tick.
Right.
It can be a couple. It can be, you know, whatever the current spread is in that market. Okay, so Lynn says, so instead of placing a stop at the exit price, I would put an MIT order. Well, Lynn, what we do is when we put on an order, okay, like, let's see, this thing's way down here at 76 and a quarter. This thing is really rallying. Look at it. 13, 76, 50. Now, when it comes down and triggers me in, it pulls back, it hits 13.7650. Chances are it will fill me at 76.75, but I'll have a live order in the market, and I'll be long the market at 76.50 or 76.75. Now, this up here, this, when it's touched, everything I do is market if touched here. So this bracket is in place. Here's the stop. Here's the stop, 2 points. The target, 2 points. Now, you'll never see me increase trading off the 10,000 contract chart. You'll never see me risk more than 2 points, or Michael. If there's a great move on, or there's a lot of momentum, we got a zone, you know, maybe we got a weekly trading zone up here. I could drag it up if I want to extend it. And at the same time I'm extending that, I'm going to be tightening up that stop. Now, the target, Bert, I think maybe what she might be asking is the stop loss, that becomes a market order when touched. Does the target become a market order when touched as well?
Yes. If it's an MIT or a stop. Okay. Once it hits, it becomes a market order.
So that's all you've got to do, Lynn, is you just got to put it in as an MIT.
Mm-hmm. And that is for targets. So MIT would be in the same, you know, that piece of paper I told you to fold in half, so mm-hmm. you have four quadrants?
Right.
All right. That limit, the MIT would be in that same box as the limit order. All right. So it's a buy limit. A substitute to the buy limit would be a buy MIT. A sell limit, a substitute to the sell limit would be a sell on a MIT. So it'd be associated with targets or trying to sell it at a higher price, that type of thing. Stops and MITs are not in the same category.
Larry's got a question there, Bert. Do you want to send him an email? Or do you want to discuss that? It's the last question in the box.
Yeah, it was. I could send Larry an email.
Okay.
Larry, I'll send you an email.
All right. Okay, guys, we've walked through, I think, everybody's question. If we missed a question, just type it in and we'll be happy to cover it and answer it. There's a room full of you guys, so today's a great day. Although the market's getting really... Did any news cross your desk?
No, not at all. I think we're just trading, you know, around the pivots and the ranges. So
I believe this is what Mike Reed calls violently sideways.
Yeah.
Because we haven't, you know, we've put on a big move, but we haven't taken out the high of the day or the high of the session.
Yeah. Nothing.
Now, we've got 22 minutes before this candle closes. Now, again, it may spike up here, but if it closes back below the CFMA1, if it closes below it, remember, that we still are looking for lower prices. We look for lower prices until the candle actually closes above. As it did over here, it closed above. Look for higher prices. Over here, look for... I know that's barbaric. It cannot be that simple. And I've never... I do say that it could be simple. I just won't ever say that it's easy. And so sometimes something that simple can be very difficult because our mind doesn't want to just let it go at that. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't use any other tools and you shouldn't use a smaller time frame, a time, all the things we teach you, those are all great. This is just basic, be on the right side of the street. Have you ever been on one side of the street and the bus came on the other side of the street? You've been standing there 45 minutes and you realize you're on the wrong side of the street. And you're chasing down the street after the bus. Hey, come back. It's too late. It's gone. All right. I wasn't able to write everything down about the quadrant. I'll call Bert after the session to get it. By all means, do call Bert that. And if there's any other question or anything else you want to see on the Dom, I mean, if I want to buy at a price higher than where we are now, I'm going to right-click to buy on a stop. If I want to buy at a price that's lower than where we are right now, I'm going to left-click market if touched. Bert, are you able to see those tool tips when they pop up on my screen? Yes, you are. Okay. So see, guys, right here, left-click. If you want to buy at a price lower than the current price, you left-click where you want to buy, like $1,377.50. You left click. If you want to buy on a stop, as it's called, above the current price, you right click. And the same thing with selling. If you want to sell above the current price, you left click. If you want to sell below the current price, you right click. So for those of you that are just getting going with this Dom or trading in general, I know the old guys turn off their tooltips. I recommend you leave them on, even because sometimes you have other things on your mind. You're not 100% focused, and after years of trading, you can still click the wrong thing. Now, when that happens, do not make the mistake of thinking that the universe is speaking to you and trying to get you on the right side of the market. You know what? You might. There's a 50-50 chance that you could luck into a good trade, but you don't want to learn to trade by that guiding light. If you click the wrong button and are, you know, you meant to be long, but suddenly you clicked your way into being short, realize that you made a mistake, and then immediately damage control, get out of that trade with the minimal amount of loss possible. And if it automatically goes in your favor a couple ticks, that's the universe giving you a break. You can at least scratch out at break even and it doesn't cost you anything. You got out of that mistake with a stern warning. It didn't cost you any real money. So, all right, Bert, is there anything else you can think of that you want to add or cover today?
Not really, unless somebody else has a, you know, the only thing that I really kind of caught my eye was the grains, and we talked about corn. So everyone got to play there, right? We're looking for a kickback to potentially 724 as a potential sell. If you're going to ask me where to put a stop, right now it would be above 41. Yeah, that's a lot, but, you know, look at the energy we had to the downside. David, I just throw, you know, thing in with David. David was looking, David's out of his corn trade because it did break 31. And he wasn't really opposed to reversing and going short. So that kind of ties in what he's looking at, unless something's changed. Let's see, gold is kind of flat, so there's nothing to speak. Talk about there. Bonds are closed for the most part. Dwayne, the only thing I could really, you know, only the grains really. If someone's got a question about another market, you want us to cut up.
What are soybeans doing today? Anything?
Okay. Actually, this is good. Mike had a question. Can you do a fib on the corn?
Corn, sure.
Good idea, Mike.
On the daily, on the hourly, where do you want?
Do it on the hourly.
Okay, let's go back to ZCZ2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. You've got the entire leg. So you've got it. You have to, and this is one of the areas where fibs become difficult for a trader, and you have to determine what rule set you're going to live by, because you could draw a fib retracement from the most recent swing high to the most recent swing low on an hourly chart, and there's your fibs. Okay. A 38% retracement would put us right up here at 728.58, so 729. By the time this wanders its way up there, this will have certainly dropped down to it. Now, another way to go you could say, I'm going to look at this as an individual leg because it had a move, it had a retracement.
Right.
In fact, let's do this. Let's go from this swing high to this swing low. Okay? Swing high to swing low. We had an exact 38% retracement. So I'm going to make the argument that this is now, it's because we had a 38% retracement, I'm going to make the argument that now this is its own leg. Does that mean you can't measure the whole thing? No, you certainly can. And I just showed you that by measuring the entire move, it would put you right in that area where we were talking about getting short. Now, let's do one more thing. Let's go to our drawing tools. Let's give it our Fibonacci price extension. Let's go from the swing high to the swing low. Now, let's pull this guy right over here to the swing high of the retracement. Now let's go see what our price projections are. In fact, I'll get rid of the original set of fibs for now just to clear the screen up a bit. We almost did a 1.618% extension. This was the 100%. This was the 62%. This was the 50% extension. Now remember, this was a perfect 38% retracement, and from that 38% retracement up here, a 38% extension, a 50% extension, 62%, 100%, this was the 161.8% extension. Okay. So it just kind of blew right through all of those, and it didn't quite make it here. That's that thing I talked about earlier. The low was 712.50. If you're trying to squeeze every last penny out, well, you know what? It's 712.50, but the 1618 fib is 7.11, so I'm going to hang in there.
Right.
Okay, you know what? After you hung in there here and hung in there here, you really should think about exiting that trade. Because maybe it's just not going to go to the 161.8. But you still, if you got in at that 38% retracement up here, you still have a lot of meat on the bone. So, now we'll go back to, now where would you have drawn the fibs, Bert? Would you have drawn from this high to this low, or would you have done just this leg?
Just that leg.
Just that leg, okay. Okay, so using just this leg, 724. Oh, did I hear somebody say 724 earlier? Who was that guy?
So 724 comes into play there not only on a retracement level, but also a moving average on an hourly basis. The other thing, too, is circle 728, because that popped up not only as a 50% retracement on this drop, but also up the 0.382. off the old top. So that number popped in, I think, a couple times.
Now, look right now where the VUC is. It's almost to the 62, which is 732. See right there, guys? So, I mean, things are going to get quiet as we go overnight, most probably. But by the time this thing gets up to the 728, the 50% retracement of just this leg, not the entire move. And I'm a believer in working it leg by leg. Okay? Now, you can go out to a daily chart. In fact, let's just do that for a minute. Let's go to a daily. On the daily chart, let's go from the most recent swing high to the most recent swing low. Now, from this high to this low, price came back and tagged a 50% retracement at 777. And it hasn't quite done 100% extension yet. It's coming down. Now, do we have to go all the way back there on a daily chart? We don't have to. We could just come and measure. See, that's a leg. That's a leg. That's a leg. That's a leg. But nearby, we could go from here to there. That gives us a 38% retracement up around 737 based on this swing high and this swing low. So there's a lot of different ways to look at it, a lot of different ways to approach it. We go back to the hourly. And that's why when you hear people say, well, you know, fibs are very subjective and you know, I never know where to draw from, you need to, and are there hard and fast rules? Well, there are, and they differ. And you got to decide which is going to work for you. So, pulling this entire leg takes us back to 728. Okay? And pulling from this leg, the top to the bottom, takes us to 724. 731 would be the 62% retracement. If this thing really gets a nice rally going, it's going to run into the VVC at some point. Okay? Now, here's the dynamic that's going to come into play. And think about this, because this will force you to do some thinking. In order for it to get to the BBC, it's got to close above the MA1. There's got to be a signal for higher prices before it can get up here for the signal for potential lower prices. Or it could get right here, and it could stagnate until this manages to drop down. Okay. For these things to start to make sense to you, you have to watch it. And you have to use the tools. And it can be a little confusing at first, but you just keep plugging away, and you keep asking questions, and you keep plugging away, and you keep asking questions. Oh, I forgot to mention, this morning in the live trading room, Michael had 14 points on the NQ. 6 on crude and 10 on gold. That's how the live trading room turned out this morning. 14 on the NQ, 6 on crude, and 10 on gold. Tomorrow, when we do the radio show, he'll recap that and we'll put it on the video as we normally do. So, Brad, in response to your comment, yes, there was a very Oh, wait, I'll go to soybeans here in a second. This was the fib on corn. We'll go to the soybeans, though, and have a look at those. Jonathan says that Elliott Wave would say we may be starting leg number 4, and it should not retrace more than 735 with 724/728, then turn to and break the low for one more leg down. Okay. That's from Elliott. That's as he's driving by on the bus waving. He says, let me get this straight. It should not retrace more than 735. Okay, right here. With 724, 728. And then turn and break the low for one more leg down. Okay. Bert had to pick up the phone. So, Jonathan, how are you this fine Veterans Day? If you want to grab the mic and chat for a minute and talk about what you were just covering there, you're welcome to. Just type it in and let me know. And we'll go look at the soybeans for Brad real quick and see what's on there. Oh, Jonathan's at the office right now, so he can't pop in. Okay. Well, that's too bad. Let's go look at the beans. ZSF3. Boy, it is a big drop. Let me put that on a daily to get a little perspective of how big it is. Okay, we had a bearish cross. And this is on a daily chart, guys. Bearish cross, pull back to the VVC. We roll sideways, basically, for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days. That's that same 2 weeks that we went sideways in corn. And then, I'm assuming based off the same crop report, well, no, because this is a daily chart, so that crop report only came out here on this candle. Not these here. But it's the same thing. You get a bearish cross. Because it's a daily chart, you wait a number of days to get the pullback. And once you get the pullback, you wait a number of days as it rolls sideways. And then the payday. So the payday on this one, the pullback was to 1560. And so far we've traded down to 1400. 1402. So 1560 to call 1400. That was $1.60 or 160 pennies, which is equivalent to 160 points in the S&P 500 E-mini futures. This move right here from this pullback, yeah, this would have been the pullback entry. From there to there is equivalent to actually 158 S&P 500 E-mini points. You know, those 2 points a day we chase in the live trading room? Okay, here's 158 of them over a period of days, over a period of weeks for this thing to come together. And it may not be over yet. Based on this, we have a call for lower prices. So, we'll see what happens. Okay, does anybody else have any other questions about anything? I do want to point out, I don't know if I pointed this out yet, but last week, and I didn't change the weekly zones yet for this reason. I wanted to just real quickly point out that not last week, but the week before. The high of the week was a weekly trading zone. The low of the week was a weekly trading zone. And the close of the week was a weekly trading zone. I put the charts out on the blog. You can go look at them. Now, this is last week, okay? This is not last night, Sunday night Globex, but Sunday night Globex a week ago. Here's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the wee hours of the morning. Gravestone Doji, right there. High of the week, 1342, a weekly trading zone. We then put out a tweet to consider being, actually we put the tweet out way back on Sunday night. Consider being short below 1402. This is where that tweet came into play, and we ended up with a 25-point drop. We then retweeted at 1390 to consider being short if you weren't already. If you go look at the Twitter feed, it says if you're not already short from 1402, consider being short below 1390. And so from 1390, we declined all the way down to 1364. So the full tweet was 1402 to 1364. That was a pretty good move. Okay. Now the low of the week last week was our lowest weekly trading zone, 1364/1365. Price then rallied back midday on Friday to the 86-87 weekly zone and closed right between the zones, right kind of smack dab in the middle. That's where it closed out the week. And there was no gap really on the Globex open. It was pretty quiet, as it's been pretty quiet today. Now, according to my clock, look, I just got a new hourly candle. We closed above the CFMA1, the backbone of our indicator set. That's a call for higher prices. Does that guarantee we're going to get higher prices? There are no guarantees. There are no holy grails. People will attempt to convince you that there is. They'll go, well, no, there's not, wink, wink, you know, jab you, poke into ribs. Nah, not really, poke, poke. I'm just going to be honest with you. There isn't. They're just, it's not out there. You can keep looking, you can keep spending money, you can keep Googling, you can. Ultimately, if you really want to be in this business for the long haul, if this is what you want to do for a living, then you have to accept the fact that you've got to learn how to trade. Now, for different people, that means different things. For some people, that means learning very complex mathematical algorithms, and that becomes their field of endeavor, and that's how they skin the cat. Other people find something else that works for them that's a little simpler, and they just go with that. What it comes down to is whether you go the complex route or the simple route is that you simply need a definable edge, as explained very well in Mark Douglas's book, Trading in the Zone. You simply need enough of an edge that over a large enough sample size, and his recommendation for sample size is 20 trades, minimum 20 trades, something that gives you a definable edge over a large enough sample size. You simply have to apply that edge repeatedly, and you don't hit anything out of the park. You don't become the guy who never strikes out. But quietly, methodically, you begin to put together a trading account, and you start to build an equity curve over time. Doesn't happen overnight. Now, let's look at a for instance. This closed above, which says, and it closed at 1381. Okay? This is a call for higher prices, live in real time. Well, what if this next candle closes right back below it? Does that negate this? Yep, it does. If this hour here were to close back below here, then that would mean this was a really choppy area, and you've got conflicting signals, and you need to wait for the market to really get itself worked out. This is holiday trade. Don't forget, Veterans Day. The mailman's off. The banker's off. The school teacher's off. My kids are off. We're the only ones on. But until there's an hourly close back below here, then the call remains for higher prices. And when I come back for the show tomorrow, I'll have this week's trading zones up on the screen. All of you who are partners, you already got your trading zones via email before the market opened today. And I won't say that they nail the low of the day so far, but I guess I could. Yeah, we have a zone at 75. So we'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll put it up. Frank, what exactly are we on, pray tell? This is the S&P 500 E-mini futures, Frank. Okay, does anyone have any final questions? I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. There was a tad of news today, but I don't think there's anything that could not wait until tomorrow. Let me bring up my news app and see if there's anything I feel compelled to talk about today. Otherwise, we'll let it wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow, we'll be back to a normal schedule. Michael will be here to do the recap. David will be here to chat with us. Robin will be here to chat with us. Just trying to load up my Greek stocks. Are getting massacred. We already talked about that. AOL, their price is up substantially, but can it hold? We'll talk about that tomorrow. Toyota is working with Apple. Petraeus. Facebook releasing on Wednesday. You know, maybe we should go ahead and talk about this one real quick. Facebook is in the middle of three major new lockup releases in which early investors and employees can finally sell. Now, the first one came on October the 29th. The stock has dropped from $22 to $19 since then, as many insiders have headed for the exits. The second release, which is much larger, will hit this Wednesday, day after tomorrow, November the 14th. The third will hit December 14th. Additionally, several of Facebook's senior executives, including COO Sheryl Sandberg, have received the huge restricted stock grants they have earned over the past few years, and instead of just letting them sit, they have converted their shares into tradable common stock. That's a clear signal that they plan to sell those shares, and they have begun selling them on a regular basis. The amount of Facebook stock that will become available for sale in this six-week period is staggering. Here are the broad numbers. On October 28th, Facebook's float was 692 million shares. That is stock that's available to be sold in the public market. That's when you hear people talk about a company's float, that's what they're talking about. On October 29th, an additional 234 million shares and options were released. On November 14th, an additional 777 million shares will become available for sale. On December 14th, an additional 156 million shares will become available for sale. And on May 18th of 2013, an additional 47 million shares will become available for sale. All in, nearly 1.2 billion, that's B as in billion, new shares will become available for sale during these 6 weeks, which is nearly twice the current float. By mid-December, Facebook's float will be 1.9 billion shares. So if a stock suddenly has twice as many shares, does that mean it's worth half as much? Well, that's pretty basic math. Many of the folks who own these shares, former employees, current employees, and early investors, have been holding the stock for a long time and are presumably eager to cash out at least a portion of their holdings. So there would seem to be a good chance that more of this stock will hit the market in the next couple of months. Those who believe in market efficiency will argue that because everyone has known about these lockup releases, Facebook's stock price has already taken them into account. And that's certainly possible. But it's also possible that one or more of these releases will be accompanied by news or an inference that big Facebook insiders are dumping almost every share they own. The same way that Facebook board member and early investor Peter Thiel did in the first lockup release. That news clobbered the stock last time, and it could clobber it again this time. The latest lockup release following the vesting of restricted stock units that most Facebook employees who joined the company before 2011 were given when they joined. Facebook converted these units into Class B shares and then withheld about 45% of the shares to pay the employees income taxes, just the way the company would withhold taxes on cash compensation. These units converted into a total of 225 million shares and vested at a price of $23.21 per share. All of this stock is now available to be sold. The vesting of the stock units resulted in an immediate compensation payout of $5.2 billion to Facebook employees who joined the company before 2011, of which $2.3 billion was withheld. All of the senior executives will be allowed to sell under so-called 10b5 sales plans, which set up regular sales in advance. Some of the execs, including Sheryl Sandberg, have already begun selling small portions of their holdings via these plans. So, from the stock side of the story, for Facebook, it's probably going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. From the company side, we're just waiting to see what they're going to do next. You know, people who use Facebook use it daily. They love it. They stay in touch with the grandkids and watch them grow up from afar. Any number of good and positive things that one can do with Facebook. Now, we probably all know somebody that Facebook has sort of consumed and taken over their life. You know, they don't have a life anymore because they're always doing the Farmville or arguing religion or politics or some other kind of thing with a relative or a family member or neighbor or somebody at church, and it's just kind of consumed them. That's not such a pretty side of it. But as with any tool, money or nuclear power can be used for good or evil. So it's all in the hands of the beholder, whoever's using it, holding it, handling it, putting it to work. So, with that said, we're going to wrap this up today, guys. I want to once again, let's see, Jonathan put in a comment. Market Profile says we're trading an inside value from Friday, and therefore retail traders are controlling the action, and a smaller range type of trading should be embraced until the big boys decide to come back to work. Well, yes, we can look at this. This is Friday. This is the low. This is the high. We can easily see that we're having an inside day. If we go look at a daily chart, we'll see it as well. Now, Friday, we put in a doji. Look at that. I hadn't looked at this chart yet today. Remember, this upper channel, we were in it from May 16th all the way up until October 23rd. We broke out. We got to the middle of the channel. We had already drawn in this trend line per basic technical analysis 101. We walked the line for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the seventh day. We crashed through it. We said the next place, the next logical spot would be, because this was 80 points, that made this 40 and this 40. So we just completed the final 40 on Friday. I was away from the chart, so I wasn't able to see this. But look right there, we put in a doji. Now we're bouncing off this bottom. We may have seen the low on Friday for a while. Okay? We'll talk more about this chart and what's going on there. But as you can see, the body of this candle, let me move this out of the way. The body of this candle is inside the high and the low of Friday. That is called an inside day, for those who may not be familiar with that term.
In the top and the bottom value, as Market Profiles would look at, is 1373 as the bottom value. Notice the low's been 72.5, and the top of the value is 1383. So those are points of interest today, if we're stuck in a range.
81.75 is the high so far today, and the low today so far is 72.50. And Tim, in answer to your question, all of my charts are on Globex, 24-hour. So they, thanks for sharing that, Bert. Was that you hanging up?
Yeah, I was just closing, hitting the mute button so
all
I
right.
didn't sound any.
Well, listen, I know you got stuff to do there, so I'm going to wrap up the show, and I'll talk to you later today or tomorrow.
Okay, cool.
All right. Thanks for coming in, hanging out with me.
Yeah, no problem.
We enjoyed it.
Okay.
So, yes, Tim, in answer to your question, these are 24-hour candles. They include the Globex. Now, you can, with the DT Pro platform, you can go into your settings and you can create charts that are just regular trading hours. So you can have both. You notice I have many tabs across the bottom. I could have an S&P Globex 24-hour. I could have the same chart, but with just real-time trading hours. Because with the real-time trading hours, you're able to see the gaps. When you're running, that's one of the, I mean, I prefer the Globex chart, but what I like a Globex chart. The thing I miss with a Globex chart is I don't readily see the gap from the close to the open. And so I have another laptop over here that does run a chart with regular trading hours. So for just the sake of perspective, occasionally I'll spin around and look at that around the open to see what kind of a gap we have going. I'm not really a gap trader, and I don't base any of my trades around the gap, but I like to know about it when it's there. Tim says, I heard that the low of a midterm swing is not often put in during Globex session. Friday's low was put in pre-market. Move that out of the way. Move that out of the way. Okay. There was some kind of economic report, I'm sure, on Friday. Now, you said, Tim, you heard that the low of a midterm swing is not often put in during the Globex session. And then you go on to say Friday's low was put in pre-market. Well, I'm not a subscriber of the theory that swing lows and swing highs don't happen on Globex, because, quite frankly, I see it a lot. In fact, let's walk back a couple days. So this swing low for the day was put in pre-market, as you pointed out. This swing high was put in the opening hour, so we'll have to give that one the benefit. Let's go up here. Okay, see this swing high right here? This was put in pre-market. This was put in at 1:30 a.m. Chicago time, right here. Now, the swing high of this day came in during regular trading hours, and the swing low came in at night. So again, here we have a low being made after regular trading hours. And without scrolling back any further, I just know that because I watch the Globex charts, Tim, I do see that an awful lot, where swing highs and swing lows will be put in on Globex. So maybe go back and check that source. Maybe there's some other qualifier or quantifier that goes along with that. But, I would think twice about building a strategy around that without more information, because the charts themselves just don't bear that out to be factual. Great. You didn't think that had good merit. You were absolutely right, Tim. You were absolutely right. What is the effect on candles plotted on charts 24/7 to the real-time hour setting? Canoe, I'm not sure if I completely understand your question. What is the effect? Well, see, the market's open. The futures market officially opens at 8:30 in the morning and closes at 3:15 in the afternoon, Chicago time. And then, like today, we're trading the Monday session. This afternoon at 3:15 Chicago time, the Monday session will end. At 3:30 Chicago time, the markets will reopen. That will be called the Tuesday session. And it'll trade all through the night up until 3:15 tomorrow afternoon. And then the markets will close. That's 3:15 Chicago time. And 15 minutes later at 3:30, the markets will reopen for Wednesday's session. And as they trade all through the night tomorrow night, that will be considered Wednesday's session. So on whatever, Canoe, what platform are you using? What platform do you chart with? If you type that in, I can probably tell you how to set up your charts. Oddly enough, that's one of the platforms I'm not really familiar with, but I'm sure just contact your help desk or whoever runs that and ask them how do you set your charts up for Globex versus regular trading hours. And I'm sure there's a simple setting in there somewhere I'm sure it's easy to do. But that platform I am not familiar with. You can call Bert, though. He might be familiar with it. His number, toll-free, 866-928-3310. Once again, 866-928-3310. All right, guys, that's it. I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. Once again, thanks to all the veterans, and I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.